Chapter 14. Finding the Answer. It wasn't until Saturday morning that Verity found time to do the study sheet. All was peaceful and quiet. Thomas had grudgingly gone to work last night, so he and everyone else were still asleep. Verity stretched out by the coffee table and began the study sheet entitled, What is a Soul? She had both her NIV and the old King James Bible in front of her, as well as the three big reference books. She filled in the Greek and Hebrew numbers at the top of the sheet and the meanings for the word soul. The next question asked if the phrase immortal soul ever occurred in the Bible. Determined she would find this even if it took her all morning, she skimmed through the concordance, looking at every verse with the word soul in it. At last she had to write no. There wasn't even one instance in either the Old Testament or the New where the phrase immortal soul could be found. The third question asked her to look at all the occurrences of the two words frequently translated as the English word soul, nephesh in the Hebrew and psyche in the Greek. There was a little chart so she could write down all the interesting characteristics she found for each. This took her at least an hour, but by the end she was greatly amazed. "Wow," she exclaimed to herself, "I would never have thought it, but a soul can eat, it can sin, die, worship idols, be given up for others. It can even be hit." Over and over again, nephesh is just translated as person or life or even creature. So whatever a soul is, animals have it too. There were a few passages she had written down during her search, which seemed to indicate that a soul left the body at death, namely Genesis 35 verses 18 and 1 Kings 17 verses 21 to 22. However, after seeing all the different English words that the translators had used freely for nephesh, she tried substituting the word life in place of soul. When she did that, those two passages fit in perfectly with all the others. She marvelled at the passage Mr. Henderson had showed them, where he had said Jesus' soul wasn't left in hell, contained the Greek word psyche. In her NIV, psyche had been translated body, but now she knew that the translators could just as accurately have used the word soul, as in the King James. How could she have read through so much of the Old Testament in the last few months without realizing that souls could eat, sin, touch, and die? Had she just read over these passages without noticing what a soul could do? Or had her NIV translation, in its effort to make God's word easier to understand, taken the word soul out of passages that didn't fit the immortal soul theory? Verity began looking different passages up in her NIV to see how the Hebrew word nephesh had been translated. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 27 read, "If anyone eats blood, that person must be cut off from his people." Interesting, she thought. So I read that passage in my NIV without realizing the words anyone and person were really the word soul. Therefore, I didn't know that a soul could eat. Next, she looked at Joshua chapter 10, verses 32, 35, 37, and 39. She decided to turn up this passage in both her King James Bible and the NIV. To her surprise, in the old King James, all the verses were already highlighted with a big question mark to one side. She read the highlighted verses. "They smote it with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein." When she looked in her NIV, it simply stated that everyone was destroyed. "Wow, souls can be destroyed," she said to herself, shaking her head in amazement. She compared the King James Version of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," to her NIV version, "The soul who sins is the one who will die." That's a very telling verse, she thought. If I was that far along in my reading, I would have discovered here that a soul can sin and also die. Verity carried on for quite a while, finding out that although her NIV Bible sometimes accurately put in other related words instead of soul, in the process it covered up many of the most revealing verses about nephesh. She wondered why. Why didn't the translators just consistently translate nephesh as person, life or creature all the way through the whole Bible? Whenever she saw the word soul, a very different visual image came into her mind than when she saw the words body or life. It was the same confusion as hell versus the grave. So where did this idea of an immortal soul come from anyway? If I didn't use these reference books and discover how God used the word nephesh, Verity thought astonished, then I might never have realized that if a soul can die, it can't possibly be immortal. She leaned back, rather amazed. This was quite a dawning revelation to her searching mind. She sat there for a while, pondering what other beliefs she had that could no longer be true without the existence of an immortal soul. If we don't have something inside us that lives on, she thought, then I guess when we are dead, that's it. We must just be plain dead and in the ground. She remembered again the passage about Jesus and the comments Mr. Simons had made about hell. So when the King James says that Jesus' soul was in hell for 3 days, she considered, that is the same as stating that his body lay in the grave for 3 days. He didn't go off to heaven, and he didn't go down to a fiery torment. He just lay dead in the grave. Her thoughts would have carried on much further, but Thomas, now awake, interrupted them as he came up the stairs. So what new questions have you thought up for us, Reverend Verity? He said sarcastically, gazing at the Bibles and reference books spread out all over the living room floor. Slowly, still in a state of shock, she turned to look at him. Actually, I've finally discovered my answer. Thomas reacted to the strange expression on her face. And what is the answer? He asked, trying hard to sound as though he was mocking her. There is no immortal soul, Thomas. When we die, that's it. Nothing floats off to some other place. Astonished, Thomas asked, So Dad isn't in heaven? No, she said softly. I guess he's just dead, in the ground. For a moment, Thomas looked serious, very serious, but he was not going to let his guard down for long. I never believed in people going off to heaven or hell anyway, he scoffed, marching out to the kitchen. Verity nodded slowly, looking off out the window. Then I guess you were right. What? He said, looking back in surprise. Did you say I was right? She laughed. You may be right about that, but you aren't right about God. He does exist. So when we die, that's it? Thomas asked cautiously, not wanting to sound too interested. Verity shook her head slowly. Death can't be the end. Abraham has to be alive again to get the land God promised him. David has to be alive again to see Jesus sit on his throne. So I guess the dead stay dead until the resurrection. Reverend Tobias used to talk about the resurrection, Thomas, remember? Thomas was busy pouring himself some cereal, but Verity continued anyway. The resurrection never made much sense to me before. Why would we want our bodies back when we've been living happily in heaven without them? But, she continued, thinking out loud, if when we die we stay dead in the ground, then the resurrection is the beginning of life after death. And without the resurrection, we have no hope of ever being alive again. So it's not about living forever in heaven. It's about living forever on the earth. All the pieces were coming together now. She jumped up and clapped her hands. That's why Abraham was promised land on earth forever. And that's why Jesus will reign on David's throne forever. It's for the future, after the resurrection. People will live forever on the earth then. Yes, I've got it. It all makes perfect sense. Thomas looked at her as though she was a raving lunatic. Wait till I tell Hank about this, he said, rolling his eyes. Verity froze. Why did Thomas always have to knock her down every chance he got? Could he not stand to see her happy? Thomas, I can't believe you'd make fun of me to that horrible Hank Heyman. Hank's not horrible. He's the only person who has been nice to me since I came here. We have a lot in common. Thomas, if Ken was here, he'd refuse to have anything to do with Hank, and you know it. If Ken was here, then I wouldn't need... Thomas stopped short, realizing he was setting himself up, but Verity had seen the pain in his eyes. Thomas, she said gently, if you weren't so miserable all the time, the nice kids would be friendly to you. What nice kids? He shot back. Or do you mean Peter Bryant? He asked sarcastically. He's hardly spoken a word to me. At least he hasn't until the last few days. Verity felt embarrassed at the mention of Peter's name, but what was it Thomas had said? He's spoken to you in the last couple of days. Oh, yeah, he's trying really hard to be my friend now, but it's too late. Thomas pounded the table with his fist. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking to you so much. You're my wacko sister. I like Hank, okay? I have a lot of fun with him. It's the only time I feel good anymore. At least he's not stuck up like your friend Purity. She's not stuck up. Oh, yes, she is. I never saw anyone who fits her name better than that girl. Everyone I talk to says she's the biggest snob they've ever met. She never stays for lunch. She doesn't go to dances. Most people have never even heard her speak. Then how do they know she's a snob? Verity questioned indignantly. What? Well, if they haven't talked to her, and if you haven't talked to her, then how do you know she's a snob? Maybe she's just shy. Thomas shook his head determinedly. I'm not going to talk to a goody-goody like her. I'm not in her league. That's too bad, Verity remarked. Then I guess you'll never know there are other people just as lonely as you. Thomas had had enough. Donning his winter coat quickly, he took off outside to the bush. Verity stood by the window, watching him head out, wishing she knew how to help him. At last, remembering the elation she had felt before Thomas spoiled her joy, she turned back to the coffee table and picked up the photocopied pages. It would be good to highlight the most telling verses so she could find them quickly if she needed to. Thinking of Peter, she wondered if he would ever talk to her again. Perhaps she would keep the pages in her backpack just in case. Maybe, just maybe, she said hopefully, I'll get a chance to show these to him one day.